Hello, and welcome to the Finding Emet radio program. Emet is the Hebrew word for truth. This program will help you understand and live the truth of the Bible from a Hebrew perspective. The Finding Emet radio program features the teaching ministry of Brother Daniel Rendelman of Emet Ministries. Prepare your heart to receive the Emet, the truth of the Scriptures. More audio lessons and teaching articles are available at the www.emetministries.com website. Please visit our site to find all things spiritual, including a free online Bible search program, or submit your prayer request. That's www.emetministries.com or www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Let's welcome our teacher, Daniel Rendelman, as he helps us find the Emet.
Today's teaching is called Yahweh's Top 10. Now, I want to ask everybody at the very beginning of the teaching is to have an open mind, to open yourself up, and to be ready, willing, and able to have your mind renewed by the word of Yahweh. Because the word tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, dear brothers, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present yourself to Yahweh a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is your reasonable act of worship." Is that what it says? It says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to tell or test between the good, pleasing, and perfect will of Yahweh." We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So in today's teaching, we're going to really be transformed a little bit. And how many know that we don't have Yahweh all figured out? Now, I used to think that. When I was in the churchianity, I really felt like I had Yahweh around my pinky thumb. I'd taken some classes from Andersonville Baptist Seminary. Y'all know where that is? Baptist Seminary. It's Andersonville, the big Civil War cemetery is there. Also, the seminary was there also. I'd taken some classes from that cemetery. And I was, you know, teaching in Sunday school, and I was filling in for the preacher on Sunday nights, and I was working at a Christian bookstore, and I was leading worship service, and I was doing youth ministry, and I would sleep about 1 hour a day. And I was doing all these great things, and I thought I had them figured out. I knew my doctrines. I knew my theologies. I knew what Tim LaHaye said about the end times. I had the 7 points down of when the rapture was going to occur. I knew the Baptist faith and message. I knew the charismatic faith and message. We were kind of Baptist-costal, if that makes sense. That's just a mixed-up Pentecostal or mixed-up Baptist, not sure. But I thought I had them figured out. Well, guess what? Yahweh said, no, you don't. Figuring out Yahweh is almost like figuring out our wives. It just is never going to happen. And when we get really close, it all starts over again. So, no offense, of course, to my beautiful bride. But when it comes to, no, it's too late, huh? When it comes to understanding Yahweh, we need to know this. We don't have him figured out. Amen to that? So today's teaching is going to bring some understanding to that, hopefully bring about some intimacy and closeness, and to explain and expose some truths behind the veil of his deity, bring some clarity. And today's teaching is only a spark. Hopefully we'll start a spark, but you can fan the flame into greater teaching. Now, how many know that you are what you think about? Not you are what you eat, but you are what you think about. You are what you think about. You do what you think about. If you're thinking about eating an ice cream cone, you know, the waffle cone with chocolate ice cream, maybe some nuts on top, it's my favorite. If you're thinking about that, you're not going to go order a steak, are you? You're not going to go to the ice cream churn where they have 24 old-fashioned flavors and say, yes, I'd like a prime rib, baked potato, salad, Thousand Island dressing. What would that person do? They'd look at you like you had lost your mind. You see, the truth is, we do what we think about. You are what you think about. So, when we change our thoughts, then we change our lives, we change our actions. Makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Be imitators of Yahweh, therefore, like dear children." Proverbs 23:7 says, It tells a servant, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Yeshua. We are to get grasp of our mind and begin thinking on the right things. So when we focus our thoughts and our mind on Yahweh and on His characteristics, on His traits, then our own characteristics and our own traits are going to change. For example, if you go see a mushy movie, like a chick flick. Remember back, was it 97 when Titanic came out? The chick flick of the ages, biggest box office movie. If you go see that movie, you leave there feeling all gooey and mushy inside. Unless you're like me and your heart is a rock. But, you know, you leave there feeling, yeah, okay. You leave there feeling just love because you're thinking about that. So when we begin to change our thoughts and our minds to think on Yahweh and His characteristics, we're going to see that our lives will change. Amen? So we may actually continue this teaching for a couple weeks. I don't know. We'll see. What we're going to talk about today is going to expose a lot of things. We're going to explain a lot of phrases of Yeshua. Paul, you'll be able to understand Paul a lot better. We're going to talk about good and evil a little bit, sickness and health, judgment and mercy, how the Word became flesh. We're going to expose a little bit about Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to talk about how wisdom was the first creation. We're going to explain a little more about what it means to honor your father and mother, how to enter into the kingdom, how to get to the kingdom. And, wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. So we better get started. At the end of every year, I guess at the beginning of every year, pundits and critics put together their top 10 list. Have you seen these before? You ever heard of David Letterman? He likes to do his top 10 list or so. Top 10 news stories to Times Man of the Year. Everyone's got their say about the best and worst of life. Countdowns cover everything, from the fanatical to the funny to the whatever of pop culture. So I found a good top 10 for us. We're going to have dinner in a little while. So I found a good top 10. Top 10 phrases overheard at a potluck dinner. Are you ready? Number 10. Oh, what an interesting texture. Number 9, I didn't know there were that many shades of green. Number 8, oh, Fred, don't get worked up. She told you it was a brand new Band-Aid. Besides, you love potato salad. Are you? Okay. Number 7, Trudy, your egg salad bust of the rabbi. Very creative. Number 6, Jim, saying in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit does not excuse your double dipping. I like that one. Number 5, top 10 comments overheard at a potluck dinner. Number 5, yeah, really? You say missionaries gave you this recipe? Number 4, what do you mean the dog wouldn't eat it? Number 3, I didn't think you could deep fry that. Number 2, if Jell-O and vegetables were meant to be together, Bill Cosby would have been a vegetarian. And the number 1 comment overheard at any potluck dinner, was that supposed to be crunchy? Ooh, okay. Anyway, that's a good top 10 list of things you overhear. It seems that everything counts down. Everything counts down. You've got the countdown when a NASA ship goes into space. There's the FBI's 10 most wanted. There's the 10 best sell list. There's the... There's all of this. Did you know that Yahweh, the Creator, has His very own top 10 list? He does. And the number 10 is very symbolic. You find it all throughout the Scriptures. So we're going to talk about Yahweh's top 10 list. Now, there are 10 creative utterances in the book of Genesis. Let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. 10 of those. There are 10 virgins and 10 talents in the parables of Yeshua. But number 10 is very symbolic meaning. It's a meaning of absolute completeness, and it relates to the hand through the value of the letter Yod. Like we say, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Yod is the 10th letter in the alphabet. It's a number of judgment and understanding. There were 10 generations from Adam to Noah. There were 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. And we know that Abraham was tested with 10 trials. Pretty interesting top 10, huh? There were 10 commandments, 10 mitzvot. There were the 10 plagues. Israel rebelled 10 times in the wilderness. There were 10 sockets in the tabernacle. Are we going to talk about all that? No, that's not Yahweh's top 10. These subjects are important. We can discuss them. There were 10 times when fire was called down from heaven in the scriptures. And there were 10 times in the Bible when someone said, I have sinned. Even there are 10 times when Yeshua said, I am this in the book of Matthew. Excuse me, the book of John. He said, I am the bread of life. I am this. I am that. Yahweh's top 10 is not just about his actions and involvement with man, but really who Yahweh is. It's different than anything you've ever heard or read, what we're going to talk about today. The list answers many questions. Here's what it's going to answer. How can I know the Creator more intimately? How is Yeshua and Yahweh really one? When we grasp this, we're going to understand a lot of those things we discussed earlier. So in the essence, I hate to say, of David Letterman, we're going to count down one by one the top 10 attributes of Yahweh. And these attributes, they're also considered his emanations. They're also considered his descriptions, his power, his radiance, his characteristics, his qualities, his stages, even considered his names, even considered by the Jews his garments or his points. These 10 Hebrew concepts are going to help you know Yahweh better and identify with his power in a real way. I said in a real way. So are you ready for Yahweh's top 10? Everybody say real loud, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right, hallelujah. Now the Hebrew word for counting, is Sephirah. Sephirah. Everybody say Sephirah. Sephirah is a Hebrew for counting. So these top 10 attributes are actually called Sephirot. Sephirot. S-E-F-I-R-O-T. These 10 attributes are called the Sephirot of Yahweh. And each of these Sephirah, or the Sephirot, provides us a focus for study. You could just take one of these that we're going to discuss and just look it up. And just study it and study it and study it. So the Hebrew word for counting is Sephirah, and these are called the Sephirot, or the attributes of Yahweh. And each of these is a focus area for us. Consider a prism. If you take a glass prism and you shine light into it, what comes out the other side? A rainbow. A special rainbow with how many colors? Does anybody know? Close. 10. 10 colors come out of a prism, which this is a picture of Yahweh. He's called light. Amen. And when the light goes through, that true light goes in, then the colors come out forward, and the Sephirot express a different and beautiful brilliance of the Master Yahweh. So from our perspective, we look to Yahweh, and he says Yahweh is one. And Yahweh is concealed in pure, brilliant, white, spiritual light. Yet, we also see him in the scriptures and in our lives revealing himself in different ways at different times. How can he on one side say, go kill everybody in that town to the Israelites, and the other side say, Jonah, go preach to those sinners? If all you see is one side of Yahweh, it doesn't make sense, does it? But when you have the full picture of Yahweh, it all begins to make sense, and you'll be able to get that picture a little better with this multi-dimensional picture of Yahweh. Now, I'm not presenting 10 different gods. You don't pray to these, but you look to one Yahweh, and you see him revealed in these 10 Sephirot. So let's open our hearts, open our minds, to be renewed. To be renewed. How about one more top 10? Oh, come on. Come on. Okay. 10 days of tribulation. There you go. How about top 10 signs you've eaten too much? Number 10, hundreds of volunteers have started to stack sandbags around you. Number 9, the doctor tells you your weight would be perfect for a man 17 feet tall. Number 8, You are responsible for a slight but measurable shift in the Earth's axis. I'm not looking at you, I promise. Number 7. Right this minute, you're laughing up pie on the carpet. Number 6. You decide to take a little nap. You wake up, it's mid-July. Top 10 signs of eating too much. Number 5. The world's fattest man sends you an email to back off. Number 4. You were told to lose weight or else. Number 3. Getting off your couch requires help from the fire department. Number 2. Every escalator you step on grinds to a halt. And the number 1 sign that you've eaten too much is when you sweat gravy. Ew, okay. All right. Let's look at Yahweh's top 10. And we can actually place these top 10 attributes of Yahweh in a chart with one side on the left and one side on the right, and the left side being full of attributes of Yahweh that are, you could say, of strict or sternness of a father. And on the right side being attributes of Yahweh that are maybe soft and compassionate, like a mother. One side is full of grace and devotion, while the other side is full of justice and fear. And then there is the middle column that we're going to look at that is the ideal balance of Yahweh. It's the ideal balance and harmony of Yahweh. So consider for a minute, if the whole world was based on mercy, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? What if, for a minute, the whole world was based on judgment? There has to be harmony, and the rabbis have said that the world would cease to exist if the world was based on one. Now, the middle way we'll see is the middle column of Messiah. Now, this countdown that we're going to talk about is actually, we're going to see that it says that man was made in the image of Yahweh, in the Betzalim Elohim. Amen? This is Yahweh, what we're going to talk about. This is Yeshua. And each of these phrases describe him. So let's begin with number 10. We're going to count down. And we'll start with Keter. 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 K-E-T-E-R. Now the Hebrew word Keter literally means crown, or head, or will, or desire. And this word appears throughout the scriptures, specifically in Esther chapter 2, verse 17. And you can actually consider the first three that we're going to talk about as the mind of Messiah. If you ever want to know what the mind of Messiah is, it's going to be these first three attributes. You could call this the Ratzon Elohim. Here's a good phrase. Ratzon Elohim. Ratzon Elohim means the will of Elohim, the will of Yahweh. Now it tells us in Psalm chapter 10, verse 6, that blessings crown the head of the righteous. That's what Keter is. Keter is the crown. And you'll read in the scriptures, if you read in the restoration scriptures, it'll talk about crowns, and it'll use the word Keter. That is the crown of Yahweh. And it comes from the root word kuf tav resh, which means to encircle like a crown or head. What's interesting is that this word also means to wait. To wait. When we are told to wait upon Yahweh, we are actually being told to put on His crown, to put on His will for our lives, take our crown off. That's where Yeshua prayed. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He was referencing Keter because for the Yeshua's kingdom to come, guess whose kingdom has to go? Ours. We got to take our crown off and cast it at His feet. Doesn't that happen in the book of Gilyana in Revelation? So Keter is crown. Interesting here, in Proverbs 14:18, Mishlei 14:18, it says, "The naive inherit folly, but the wise are crowned with knowledge." That your Keter would have knowledge. That's the mind of Mashiach. When we trust in Yahweh and walk in accordance to His ratzon, or His will, we are crowning Him as King. We are establishing the Malkut HaShamayim. That's a Hebrew for the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. And the Keter is symbolic of the you could say again, the mind of Messiah. And the name Ayeh Asher Ayeh, who was, who is to come. So if you're in search of Yahweh's will, divine perfect will for your life, you're actually wanting to put on Yeshua, the Keter, his crown for you. Number nine. Chokmah. The Hebrew word chokmah. Chokmah is the Hebrew word for wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. It's easier to say than chokmah. Wisdom. Did you know that wisdom or chokmah is the first creation? Now we read in Genesis, in the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. But we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, Mishlei 8, that wisdom was the first creation. Does not Chokmah call and Binah lift her voice? She stands at the heights between the paths. She's taken her stand. It says in Proverbs 8, verse 22, Yahweh possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from beginning, before the earth was. When there were no depths, I brought forth. When there were no fountains, abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he did not make the earth or the fields or the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, I was there. Then it tells us here, verse 30, I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him. Chokmah. It means wisdom. Wisdom. Or potential, you could even say. That Yahweh created Chokmah, and through Chokmah, everything else was established. And Chokmah implies to our ability to look deeply into something and to understand it. Doesn't it say that Yahweh searches the deep things? Through his Chokmah. Now, Chokmah could be regarded as feminine or as this side of Yahweh. Now, we've said before in past teachings on the website called The Restoration of the Ruach that Ruach HaKodesh is the feminine aspect of Yahweh. Very, very interesting that the word Ruach HaKodesh is a feminine word. And we know that the Ruach comforts, amen, the Ruach consoles, and that from Chokmah, Yahweh is revealing himself here as wisdom. Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforts, I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Yerushalayim. Isaiah 66:13. Now, grammatically, in both Hebrew and Aramaic, chokmah is feminine. Just like in Spanish, you've got like banyo and banya. In Hebrew, you have masculine and feminine words. Proverbs 9:1, it says, Chokmah has built her house. She has seven pillars. She has seven pillars. And guess what those seven pillars are? These seven attributes, after we cover the first three, the seven pillars are the seven pillars of Chokmah. What's interesting here is if you read in the scriptures, you'll see that Yahweh is revealed many times in reference to Chokmah and in reference to mercy as Yahweh. And when you see the word Elohim, many times it's in reference to judgment. Just another code for us to be able to understand. So this Sephirot represents the passive side or the left side of Yahweh, Chokmah. Joy, you could say. So number nine. Number eight, Hebrew word, Binah. Binah. B-E-N-A-H or B-I-N-A-H. If Yahweh is full of wisdom, doesn't it make sense that he's also full of reason or logic? Amen. Bina is Hebrew for logic or reason. You could say that Bina is, wisdom of something that happened, but, Chokmah is wisdom of something that happened, but Bina is understanding that. Understanding. Bina, understanding. It's interesting that in the book of Job, Job chapter 12, verse 11, it says, the ear examines words. And that word for examines is actually bina. The ear binas words. It examines, it understands that. Now, what does it say in Romans chapter 10, verse 17? Faith cometh by hearing, bina, and hearing the word of Yahweh. Because the ear examines words, it binas words, so faith comes when bina gets involved. When we begin to understand Yahweh, when we begin to take the concepts of life and analyze them through Yahweh. Now here's what's interesting. Bina and Chokmah work together. Bina and Chokmah work together. 1 Chronicles 22:12. It says, Yahweh give thee wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel that you may keep the law, the Torah of Yahweh. That for us to keep Torah, we've got to have Bina and Chokmah. We've got to have wisdom, Chokmah, and understanding, Bina. We've got to have wisdom, we've got to have Bina, understanding. So Bina, you could say, is to be able to determine between two ideas. Let's look at number 7. Yahweh's top 10. Number 7. Chesed. Chesed. We all need more chesed. Chesed. Chesed is grace, mercy. Chesed, this sephirot, is actually an act with no cause. It's often misunderstood by religious circles as just grace alone, but it's better translated mercy and love mixed together. Chesed. It's the favor of Yahweh. It is unconditional giving that is motivated only by deep caring. For Yahweh so loved the world, he chesed the world that he gave his only begotten son. It tells us in Shemot 15:13, it says, in your chesed, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them by your holy dwelling. Now, notice in that verse I just read, it said, in your chesed, you will lead the people. And then it said, in your strength, you will guide them. The next in Yahweh's top 10 is strength or gevurah. Gevura. G-E-V-U-R-A-H. Gevura. And we see these two powers working together. It says, in your chesed, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your gevura, you will guide them. Now, chesed is pity and compassion, again found on the motherly side of Yahweh. It is the mainstay of our faith. Chesed is the mainstay of our faith. If you don't believe me, look at John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the only One who came from the Father, full of chesed and emet, full of grace and truth. We'll come back to that verse in just a minute. The idea of grace did not start in the Garden of Eden. Amen. From the very beginning. It was present at creation. It is the heart and soul of Yahweh. However, everybody say however. If chesed is allowed to run rampant, it brings nothing but chaos. Haven't we seen that? People can just go to their priest. They got chesed. They got amazing grace. They can do whatever, say whatever, act whatever, and go off their very own way. Chesed has to be balanced out. Think of chesed, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. But chesed needs gevura. Just like wisdom needs understanding, what happens if you are 940 years old, you've got all this wisdom of life, but you don't know how to apply it? If all you have is chokmah and wisdom, what happens if you're 15 years old and all you've got is reason and logic and you think you know everything, amen, but you don't have any wisdom to apply it? You're off balance, are you not? I was there. I used to think I knew everything. No, I don't. No, I know I don't know anything. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So you've got to balance these out. Chesed has to be balanced with gevura. So this is Yahweh's top 10, number 6. Gevura. Gevura. Everybody say gevura. Gevura. Gevura is the attribute of Yahweh that balances chesed. Gevura is Hebrew for judgment, or truth, or strength, or discipline, restraint. It says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Gevura. Gevura is similar to the Hebrew word din, or judgment. And it brings order to the world. This is Yahweh Elohim. Elohim. The word Elohim is dealt with Gevura. The tablets that were given to Moshe were six. The tablets that were given to Moshe were 6 hand breadths wide by 6 hand breadths tall by 6 hand breadths thick or so. Big tablets. 6 times 6 times 6 equals 216, which guess what? Equals Gevura. Gevura. Gevura is, you could say that Yahweh was moving in his Gevura when the rain fell with Noah's Ark. When the judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. When Yeshua took our sins for us. Yet how many know that there was also chesed? Did Yahweh wipe out the entire world with Noah in the ark? Did Yahweh put our punishment upon Yeshua, but yet is giving us his grace? They're balanced out with Yahweh. Yahweh doesn't have a moody day where he's just full of gevura. Now, what balances out gevura and chesed? Tiferet. Tiferet. T-I-F-E-R-E-T. Tiferet. The scales of judgment and mercy are balanced by Tiferet. Anybody know what Tiferet means in Hebrew? Glory. Glory. There are a couple ways to say glory in Hebrew. You can say Shekinah, the Shekinah glory of Yahweh. You can say Kavod, the heaviness, the weightiness of Yahweh. Or you can say Tiferet. Tiferet. To balance it. Tiferet balances the left side of Gevura, the right side of Chesed, perfectly. How many knows that Yahweh abhors unequal weights and measures? Amen? Now you know what that means. Now I want to show you something else. Today, mainstream churchianity is full of Chesed, grace. All you hear about is grace, 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 grace. Especially if you're Baptist. Right? Eternal salvation. Do whatever you want. The message of grace is the message of the Bible. Amen? There is plenty of chesed. Yet, it's also balanced out by gevura. But mainstream Christianity focuses on the grace of Yahweh. Do whatever you want. Do whatever seems right, but don't drink, don't smoke, of course. Don't be gay. And do whatever you want. Don't do those heinous sins. And Yahweh's grace will cover you. Judaism, majority of Judaism, is focused on gevura, the strictness, the firmness of Torah. And they add to it thousands of laws in the Talmud, the Mishnah. They say, don't do whatever you want. They say, be careful with what you're doing. They say, don't even say Yahweh's name, because you might mispronounce it. And they're focused on the strictness, the sternness, the law, you could say. And yet we've got the church that focuses on the Spirit. And yet we are told in John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, we are to, the Father seeks those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Yahweh is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You could say this, Yahweh is Tiferet. He is glorious. Amen. And those who worship him must worship in spirit, in chesed, and in truth. Gevura. If we focus on one side or the other too much, our theology, our idea of Yahweh is off balance. And what happens when something's off balance? It falls down. I'm going to do a teaching this coming Hanukkah on the dreidel, because that's the thing about the dreidel. It's off balance, and guess what it does? It falls down every single time. If we are too balanced on the Gevura, the strictness, the firmness, the sternness of Yahweh, beating people over the head with a Torah scroll or King James only Bible, then we have a misunderstanding of Yahweh. But if we're only focused on the grace of Yahweh, do whatever you want, say whatever you want, do it whenever you want, eat whatever you want, wear whatever you want, then we're focused on the grace of Yahweh. Where should we be? In the middle with Tiferet, giving him glory. What does it say in John chapter 1? It says, the Word became flesh. What became flesh? The Word was made flesh, literally made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. Get this. We beheld the glory. The what? The Tiferet of Yahweh, full of what? Grace, chesed, and truth, Gevura. Do you see it? I'm not the only one getting excited, am I? That's this picture right here. But the Word became flesh. Yeshua became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his Tiferet. Think of it this way. It tells us here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. Without warning, a storm came upon the lake. The waves swept over the boat. Yeshua was asleep. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, save us. We're going to drown. What did he say? You have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. Now you can say in the story that the winds and the waves are like the sternness, the strictness, the Gevura of Yahweh. And the quiet that comes upon the seas would be the chesed of Yahweh, the grace of Yahweh. And who calmed them down? Yeshua, the Tiferet of Yahweh. And notice what they said. What kind of man can do this? No man can do this. No regular man can do this. Tiferet is found in the Bible. It's actually translated glory, crown, body, and even heavens. Tiferet is glorious because it expresses the divine balance of judgment and mercy. And this divine balance is not humanly possible. Unless we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to walk on one of these two sides. We're either going to be full of wisdom and yet full of grace, or we're going to be full of understanding and say, you got to do it this way or else. Yeshua said, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, or be moved from here to there. Which that faith is in Yeshua, putting on his crown, walking in his beauty and his glory, his Tiferet. That's it. Yeshua is the balance. He's the crown of Yahweh. Amen. Doesn't it say that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess? That what? Yeshua is Yahweh to the glory, to the Tiferet of Yahweh. Number four, top 10 of Yahweh. Number four, Netzach. Yeah, we're going down. I'm counting down. Netzach, N-E-T-Z-A-C-H. Netzach. Again, on the motherly side, you could say. You could actually believe, and I believe, in the if you believe in the spiritual laws of Yahweh, that Yahweh set up the world with certain spiritual laws, like there are physical laws of gravity, there are spiritual laws, that Netzach is why so many things happen. That the Bible teaches that Netzach is why so many things happen. And it's really defined as Netzach, as eternal life, as victory, endurance, or confidence. Netzach, eternal life, victory, endurance, or confidence. Yahweh Sevaot, Yahweh of hosts. John 3:36. Whoever believes, what would be believe? Whoever believes, bina, in the Son, Tiferet, has eternal life, netzach. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for Yahweh's wrath, gevura, remains on him. John 3:36. Netzach is all about victory and beauty. The word is specifically used in 1 Samuel 15:29. 1 Samuel 15:29. Yahweh is called the Netzach of Israel, the victor of Israel. It says, and also the Netzach of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. What does it say in Hebrews 13:8? That Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we have the Netzach, we have that victory of Yahweh, eternal life. It speaks of this as being the power of speech. In John chapter 12, it tells us in verse 25, he that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. He that loves his life shall lose it. He that's just in the logic is going to face gevura. He that's just in the binah, they only believe what they can see, what they can reason in their mind, shall lose it because they'll face judgment, gevura. But it says in John 12:25, he that hates his life in this world, to hate this life in this world is to flow in Yahweh's chesed and his grace, shall keep it to eternal life. Netzach. These are concepts all throughout the scriptures. You could say Netzach is not to regret death, you could say. Look up 1 Samuel 15:25. Before the killing of King Amalek, Yahweh says, I am the victory of Israel. Number three. Yahweh's top ten. Number three. Hod. 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 Hod is a funny Hebrew word, and it's often considered actions and words. It's similar to the Hebrew word, spelled exactly as the word hod, which means echo. In our world, we are to take upon the hod of Yahweh, Sevaot, and echo his actions, repeat his words, reflect his character. Now notice that hod is on the left-hand side of Yahweh. Hod is on the left side of Yahweh. Hod is the power of splendor to advance, to keep going no matter what. Hod says to keep going. Netzach says to eternal victory. And if you look at your picture here, they're on the legs, aren't they? You keep walking. Hod and Netzach are called two halves to one body walking together. They have feet to fulfill what Yahweh says. Write down Luke 7:13-16. And when the master saw her, he felt compassion. What did he feel? Chesed, compassion for her. And he said to her, do not weep. Do not have gevura or judgment. And he came up and touched the coffin. And the bearers came to a halt. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. What was happening to that dead person? What were they experiencing? Netzach, eternal life. He said, arise. And the dead man sat up and he began to speak. What did we say speech was? Hod. And Yeshua gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying, they began praising Hod, Yahweh, Tiferet, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us. Yahweh has visited his people. Who visited the people? Zeus? Son of Zeus? Yahweh has visited his people. Yahweh has visited his people. Yahweh has visited his people. That is Hod. That's the power of Hod. Hod would be speech. It would be echo, actions and words. To advance, to acknowledge. That Hod helps us to understand that what we experience in this world is only 1% of reality. But in reality, this is only 1%, that the supernatural world is 99%. From the Hebrew word hod, which means echo. By the way, These fit exactly with the fruit of the Spirit. I'll show you that when we finish up. These match the fruit of the Spirit exactly. All right? So we're down to two. Counting down. Yahweh's top 10, number 2, Yesod. Yesod. Y-E-S-O-D. Yesod means foundation. It means righteousness. The sturdy and strong foundation of a building is Yesod. The Psalms say this, the righteous are the foundation of the world. The righteous are the foundation of the world. Now think about Sodom and Gomorrah for a minute. What did Yahweh say? Yahweh in his chesed said, if I can find just a couple righteous, then I will spare the city. Otherwise, it will be, that was chesed, otherwise it will be destroyed. Gevurah. Yahweh was looking for someone who would have yesod, foundation. How many did he find? Did he find 100? Did he find 50? Did he find 10? No. But Yahweh was flowing through the Sephirot, and he said, if I can just find someone who is walking after me, who's got on the crown of Yahweh, the Keter, who's following after the will of Yahweh in the glory of Yahweh, who is founded like a tree planted by streams of water, whose fruit will never, you know, whose leaves will never wither and will bear fruit in season, Psalm 1, someone who is founded, then I'll spare the city. But what happened at that point? Yahweh in his divine reasoning and understanding, Binah, he spared the righteous, and those who were unrighteous faced his Gevurah. El Chai, Yahweh of life. In John 17:24, Yeshua prayed this. He said, Father, I want those that you've given me, those will be the righteous, amen, Yesod, I want those that you've given me, Yesod, to be with me where I am, to see my Tiferet, glory. The glory, Netzach, or the victory you have given me because you love me from creation. Chokmah, Keter. You can literally take a verse and see how Yahweh manifests himself. And what's powerful about this is Yahweh says, do not let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Amen? Why is that? Because the right hand is full of mercy, and the left hand is full of judgment. And he says to be careful. He says to balance it out, to walk in his top 10. Speaking of top 10, one more if I can. Top 10 signs you're at a redneck church. Are you ready? You ready, Brother Adrian? Henrietta's ready. Top 10 signs you're at a redneck church. Number 10, the preacher says, I'd like to ask Bubba to help take up the offering. Seven guys stand up. That's a sign you're at a redneck church. Number 9, first day of deer season is an official church holiday. Number 8, prayers regarding the weather are a standard part of every worship service. That's part of us, isn't it? That's true. Number 7, the church directory does not have last names. Number 6, there's no such thing as a secret sin. Because everybody's close, I guess, anyway. Number 5, the only time people lock their cars in the parking lot is during the summer, only so their neighbors won't leave them a bag of squash. That's true for us, anyway. Number 4, there's a special fundraiser for a new septic tank. We've talked about that. Number 3, finding and returning lost sheep is not just a parable. It's a sign you're at a redneck church. Number 2, the final words of the benediction are, y'all come back now, you hear? And the number 1 sign you're at a redneck church, you ready? People argue and fuss over whether the Savior fed the 5,000 with 2 bass or 2 catfish. Oy vey, forgive me for that one. Forgive me for that one. Yahweh's top 10. We've got Keter. We've got Chokmah. We've got Binah. We've got Tiferet. We've got Chesed. We've got Gevurah. We've got Netzach. We've got Yesod. We've got Hod. And finally, we've got Malkut. You've heard Malkut before. Malkut. Malkut is Hebrew for kingdom. Melech is king. Malkut is kingdom. We say the Malkut HaShemayim, the kingdom of Yahweh, the kingdom of heaven, the rule and the reign of Yahweh. The Malkut. The Malkut. This is the rule and the reign of Yahweh. This is the last, and guess what? It's the first. What did Yeshua say? The first shall be last. Yahweh declares the end from the beginning. Well, guess what? Malkut is the same as Keter. Because you have the kingdom of Yahweh, the Malkut. When you make him king, you put his crown upon yourself. When you begin to think like he does, what does it say? It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, put on the full armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. It says, put on the helmet of salvation, which says, what does the helmet of salvation say? Kadosh to Yahweh. Kadosh to Yahweh. When you put on his crown, you're establishing his kingdom. That's what Malkut is. It is the kingdom. It says his kingdom shall have no end in the book of Daniel. In Psalm 118:20, this is really good. Psalm 118:20. It says that Malkut is the gate of Yahweh through which the righteous may enter. What was the gospel? Was it believe on Jesus and be saved? I don't think so. The true gospel was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Isn't that what Yeshua preached? Isn't that what John the Baptist preached? Repent, do teshuva, turn from your sin, return to Yahweh, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the Malkut of heaven is near. Yeshua was saying that. And Yeshua, we said, was the middle, the Malkut himself. It tells us that Malkut, it's really neat. 1 Chronicles 29:11. 1 Chronicles 29:11. I'll read it to you in Hebrew, putting in these words. And in English it says, yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Well, guess what? Let's read it with Yahweh's top 10. To you, Yahweh, is the Gevura, the greatness, the Gevura, the Tiferet, the glory, the Chesed, the Netzach, the Hod, for all that is in the heavens and earth, Yesod, is to you, is the kingdom, Malkut. All of those attributes are in this verse. All of those attributes are in this verse. It's powerful. This is the gate of Yahweh. Yeshua said that to enter into the Malkut, what did you have to do? Be born again. To enter the birth canal, you could say, of Yahweh. To be born again. Now, the kingdom of Yahweh, many teach that it's just some lofty idea. You'll enter the kingdom when you're raptured or when you die. But it's actually here on this world of action. That's what the kingdom of Yahweh is about. That all of these sephirot culminate with Malkut. When we walk in Chokmah, Chesed, Gevurah, when we walk in wisdom and knowledge, understanding and glory, in victory, when we walk in a foundation, when we continue to go forward in our speech, we are walking in the Malkut. We are walking after Yeshua. We are walking after him. Whereas Chokmah, or wisdom, is the potential to be, Malkut is being. It's the final manifestation, that it's like the beginning. To be born again is to repair that fallen state, to get back to the image of Yahweh. And I said that these are a picture of the fruit of the Spirit. This is a lot to take in, a lot of Hebrew, but this will get you started in your studies. If you ever just say, gosh, I don't know what to study, start on the Sephirot of Yahweh. Ask him to reveal them to you. The fruit of the Spirit, or the Malkut of the Spirit, is love, chesed, joy, netzach, peace, that would be teferet, Yeshua is our peace, amen, patience, keter, crown, kindness, chokmah, goodness, gevura. Why would Yahweh's sternness be goodness? It's goodness, amen? Because he does it justfully. Faithfulness, what would that be? Foundation. Gentleness, hod, and finally, self-control, bina. But the fruit of the Spirit, the kingdom of Yahweh, the Malkut, is love, chesed, joy, netzach, peace, tiferet, patience, keter, patience, kindness is next, chokmah, goodness, gevura, faithfulness, yesod, foundation. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, doesn't this just fit right in here? Faithfulness, goodness, gevura, gentleness, hod, and self-control, bina, logic, reasoning, understanding. It all fits. It's the same concepts. Yahweh's not changed. But here, we can see it in a Hebraic perspective. You could say even the positive and the negative are balanced out in Yahweh. But he's showing us his glory, his chesed, his kingdom. It tells us that in Isaiah 11:9, that the earth is filled with the knowledge of Yahweh as the ocean covers the seabed. And if we think we've got them all figured out, then we're wrong. Amen? We need to study, read, understand each of these attributes, and more of it's in the Scriptures, to really know him. To really know him. Now, the Word tells us, and it says, knowledge makes you puffed up. If all you do is you learn these fancy Hebrew words and you learn all about knowledge, what good is it going to do? What did we say at the beginning? What you think about is how you act. What you think about determines your actions. So when we begin to think about and have the knowledge of Yahweh with his Sephirot, we're going to change our lives. That we're going to experience the kingdom, the Malkut of Yahweh. We're going to balance out grace and mercy in our walk. We're going to allow the wisdom, the chokmah, and the understanding, the bina, to help us. So that these aren't just Yahweh's top 10, but they're Melanie's top 10. And they're Karen's top 10. And they're Maggie's top 10. And they're Moshe's top 10. And they're Adrian's and Gilberto's top 10. They're Henrietta's top 10. That as we begin to study and learn from these and begin to see them all throughout the Scriptures, this becomes who we are. And no longer is the top 10 a joke, but it is reality. It is reality. Ayeh asher ayeh, crown me, keter. Yahweh, give me wisdom, chokmah. Elohim chayim, El of life, grant me understanding, bina. El with the right hand of his love, make me great in the kingdom, chesed. Elohim from the terror of his judgment, protect me, gevura. Yahweh with his mercy, grant me beauty, tiferet. Yahweh Zevaot, watch over me, forever, netzach. Elohim Savaot, grant me beatitude and from his splendor, hod. El Chai, Yahweh of life, make his covenant my foundation, yesod. Adonai, open my lips, that my mouth may speak of your praise, Malkut, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to the Finding EMET radio program. Please visit our website to learn more about the EMET, the truth of the Scriptures. Search the Bible, submit your prayer request, or read an article on various subjects. The website is www.findemet.com. That's www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Or write to us at EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. That's EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. Thank you again for listening to Finding EMET with Daniel Rendleman. May you find the EMET, and may the truth set you free.